Where should a multinational corporation pay its taxes? Where it develops or makes its stuff or delivers its services, or where it lists its address on its corporate stationery? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It is clearly a global issue, but European Union finance ministers will discuss the idea of levying taxes on companies where the business gets done. It's at a summit in Estonia this weekend, driving this companies that shop for low-tax jurisdictions. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is tracking this today.
There's been an enormous amount of concern about all types of firms shifting where they declare their profits so that they can be taxed at the minimum or indeed preferably no rate at all. But the EU is particularly concerned about it's possible for digital businesses to take advantage of this, because the kind of basic idea is that it's very difficult to tax a firm at all if it doesn't have at least some sort of physical presence on your territory. And of course, with the digital economy, it's actually possible to provide very extensive services in a country without having any physical presence at all.
Now, the broader concern is a company that is essentially shopping around for a low-tax area, even though that low-tax area where it might want to pay taxes, that company doesn't have much of an operation.
Exactly. And so what the EU is thinking about is ways in which you can declare their profits where the economic activity takes place, or an idea that's actually got the backing. It's driven particularly by France, but also seems to have the backing to some extent of Germany, Italy and Spain, is that perhaps you should shift more towards taxing revenue or turnover rather than profits. And that gives businesses much less opportunity to avoid paying taxes where they might be subjected to rather higher rates.
Now, you and I have been talking about EU here. It's the EU finance ministers talking about this. But to really sort this out, it would have to be a more global undertaking beyond the EU.
There's been a lot of work on this kind of global tax reform has been undertaken in the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which is largely made up of the rich countries. The EU very much recognizes that that's where the initiative needs to be taken. But what they're trying to do is to agree some sort of common position so that they can all be pushing the same line in the OECD.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Let's check the markets. A North Korean missile test over Japan isn't really moving U.S. stock futures markets much, at least at the moment. The Dow future up 6 points, the S&P future down 0.1%. In London, an explosion on the subway that caused injuries and is being investigated as terrorism, plus a higher British pound, has knocked the 100-share index in London down 1.2%. Tough being a pharmaceutical company when your patent rights run out. In rushes the generic competition, and down go profits on a drug that you may have spent time and money to develop way back when. The drug company Allergan has been doing some creative thinking about this when it comes to an eye medicine called Restasis. They're transferring the drug to a Native American tribe in upstate New York. Veteran business columnist Joe Nocera writes about this in Bloomberg View. Good to see you, Joe.
Nice to be here.
So, wait, how are the good people of the St. Regis Mohawk tribe going to help Allergan?
Well, they are a sovereign entity. And if you're a sovereign entity, you have certain immunities from federal law. And one of those immunities apparently is patents. Allergan has said, we're going to transfer our patent to you. You find people of the Native American tribe of the St. Regis Mohawks. We're going to pay you an annual royalty and some upfront money. And our competitors, we're trying to avoid our patent at the patent office, will be stopped because the patent office can't challenge a sovereign entity.
Now, in your column, you note that there are voices on Wall Street who seem to cheer this cool maneuver.
Wall Street wants companies like Allergan to be able to maintain monopoly prices on brand name drugs. I mean, this is the really important part. Restasis has been on the market since 2002. Its original patent ran out in 2014. So there should have been generics on the market 3 years ago. But companies now have learned that what you do is you make a little change in the dosage, you make a little change here, you make a little change in the formula, and you put a whole new bunch of patents around it. and you try to extend the patent life another 12 years or another 10 years. But truly, it violates at the minimum the spirit of the law that basically says generics should be able to come in and give the American public cheaper prices. This is one reason, by the way, that healthcare costs so much.
Now, the pharma companies, what they'll say is, okay, you're just looking at this one drug, in this case, Restasis. We spent tons of money trying to develop other drugs that failed, so this is one way we can recoup some of that.
You know, the law is basically saying, you've had your window. Now it's time to do something for the American people. And the companies are saying, well, we don't really want to do anything for the American people. We really want to help our shareholders.
Part of the trouble here is that there's several sets of laws, one the native nation and one the laws of the United States.
Well, that is true. And I should note that this maneuver, which is what it is, will be challenged. But if Allergan succeeds in doing this, I can guarantee you that the Native American tribes around the country are all going to get into the patent business. And every drug company on earth is going to start transferring patents to Native American tribes. So it really could put a damper on the generic business.
Joe Nocera wrote the piece for Bloomberg View. Mr. Nocera, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.